But it was the awareness of, it ain't just you, right? Which is what he was, with what Uzui's been trying to tell me is, this isn't all about you. Like, get out of your head, right? This happens. I'm just using you. You're my vessel. Like, you're the human form. Get moving.
Welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali. And in this podcast, we have inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence as a healer and as a healer in business. I want to thank you for tuning in. This is the 19th episode so far. And did you know that listening isn't the only way to support the show? You can also support the show by taking me up on my invitation to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Doing this helps to grow the show. The other way to support the show is by becoming a patron and making a monthly or a one-time donation on my website, theconfidenthealer.net/support. Thank you so much for coming with me on this journey. I couldn't do it without you. So you want to know what this episode is all about? Oracles, muses, and mediums. Oh my. This week, I asked my dear friend and colleague to come back to the show because she is experiencing on the regular a non-ordinary state of consciousness, otherwise known as channeling. And I wanted to normalize this type of consciousness and give confidence and courage to anyone out there that may be having a similar experience. Oracles, muses, and mediums have been around since people have been around. Every culture had a spiritual leader of the community that knew how to access these non-ordinary states of consciousness. We want you to know you can access this non-ordinary state of consciousness too, if you want. And for others, this type of consciousness sometimes seeks the person out, as it did for this week's guest. This was recorded during Mercury retrograde, so you will hear my guest's cat and her dogs and other things that we weren't able to edit out due to the technical chaos. There are some triggering parts in this conversation, and I will forewarn you before certain traumatic events are discussed. So without further ado, let's dive into the conversation with Kesley Mack, this week's Confident Healer. Welcome to the Confident Healer podcast. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali. And today we have a familiar face or a familiar voice on again. You may remember her from episode 3. She's my dear friend, Kesley Mack. Well, she's back today to talk about something really incredible happening. And let's just get right to it. So let's welcome back to the Confident Healer podcast, Kesley Mack. Yay! With a big warm hug. Let's give her a big hug.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
So nice to have you here again. So in the past couple of months, you've been experiencing quite an amazing journey. And I'm so happy that you want to talk about it while in the process. And I've received some amazing, marvelous benefits from this incredible experience that you're having. So tell us what's been going on the past couple months.
Hi. So yeah, it's been an exciting few months. So early December, I was giving an attunement to somebody. So for all of you Reiki folks out there, you know that there's a Western Reiki and there's Eastern Reiki, and then there's many other subtypes that have been channeled throughout the years. So there's lots of different avenues to learn Reiki. So I was trained in the traditional Usui Reiki method from a lineage that was totally pure, as pure as they could. And with Franz Stine and the International House of Reiki was the upline. So that was how I was trained, and that's how I practiced for several years. And then my hypnotherapy teacher had the experience where she started in the very Western way of Reiki and then learned the Eastern method and then combined the two. And that's how she teaches. So in talking to her and doing my hypnotherapy training and my hypnotherapy teacher training, we started talking about it, and I wanted to learn a little bit more about the Western Reiki because I had no experience from it, but I was having a lot of experiences myself, more intuition-based and having my chakras, you know, that I read chakras. And so the things that weren't being implemented in the traditional, I wanted to start to combine. So she taught me about the Raku, which is a symbol in Western Reiki. Well, from the moment she started telling me about it, all the information I was receiving is not the information she was offering. The information she was offering was the information that's out there, and the information I was receiving was not the same information. So I was doing the attunement incorrectly. I was doing an attunement. I was doing an attunement that I was apparently channeling. And so what I saw the symbol as, instead of a lightning bolt energy, was a tornado. I kept seeing the cyclone vortex idea. And that's what I thought I was doing. So when I was doing this attunement, I thought I was giving that attunement, but I was doing it with the wrong intention. And on the second round, you go head to hands. And on the second round, all of a sudden, this massive energy entered the room. Now, I was doing a distance attunement. So I had my chair set up. And all of a sudden, this energy comes in the room. And I kind of stopped. And this being, I could see the back of the person. And I was like, okay, something's going on here. With that, he turned around and looked over his shoulder, and it was Mikao Usui, the father of Reiki. And I instantly just kind of went, what is happening? And I'm pretty sure tears started streaming down my face about that time. The bigness and the awe was so powerful. At the same time that he came in, it was totally simultaneous. He had this tall angelic being with him. And that being split into 12 and started to spin in the cyclone that I had been imagining. And I'm like, whoa. And I kind of sat back. I had another chair sitting, and I went and I sat in the chair because it was clear I was not doing the attunement any longer. With that, I was getting into my head, right? Getting into the human ego of, oh my gosh, why me? What's happening? I can't believe this. And he kept looking over his shoulder and calmly saying, could you get out of your head and back in the attunement? I need you.
So let me just stop you here. Let me just ask you. So you're saying that, so you could see this energy of Usui, right? Like visually, like in your mind's eye. I'm just trying to,
I see in my mind's eye.
Okay. Okay.
So I see it as though it's like a memory. That's kind of how I experience.
So you're doing this attunement. I just want to clarify because I, so you're doing this attunement, you're doing a distant Reiki attunement, attuning someone to Reiki level one?
Yes.
Reiki level one. It's something you've done before. And then all of a sudden this.
Sort of.
It's something you've, what do you mean by that?
So I've actually only done the attunement one other time. And I did it in person in June during the break in the lockdown. and nothing special happened. It was just, and I've done it. So I've done, it was my third attunement that I had done of that.
Okay. Wow. Fascinating. And you've been practicing Reiki for how many years?
Since 2016 is when I got my teacher license. I've taught just one class because I use it more in one-on-one healing than actually teaching.
Okay.
So, and I've wanted to teach, but it wasn't the right time. I couldn't fill the classes. There was always something just off about trying to lead with Reiki. Okay. So I led more with hypnotherapy. That was kind of the modality that I led with. But this was a dear friend also who I met way back in the beginning of the 2000s in beauty school. And we've since both come to different places. She's got a whole different career now and we reconnected. So, and she's doing a lot of self-taught Reiki. And so she just said, hey, would you do the attunement for me? And because I know her and trust her abilities and know how intuitive she already is. And a lot of it for her is trust. So it was being done on a slightly different level than the first person. Let me rephrase that. It was being done on a very different level than the first person with much different intention. Knowing that she's a healer already, she's going to be using it as a healer perspective versus using it just for herself. So there was a definitely a different energy as I was doing it.
Okay. So yeah, I just wanted to break down for people that don't know about the attunement process for Reiki, because we both teach Reiki. To learn Reiki, this type of energy, hands-on energy work, is passed down from a teacher to a student by an initiation. People call it an initiation or an attunement. And so you are physically, whether you're in person or doing it from a distance, you are initiating that person to the energies of Reiki, which is a Japanese healing system founded by Mikao Usui in the 1920s. 1920s?
It's been 100 years.
Okay.
It was sometime between 1920 and 1922.
Okay.
There's not a lot of details at that time.
He was born in the late 1800s, I think, because, that's what it was. And so since then, it came to the United States through a Japanese American who was living in Hawaii, and it changed completely from how it was taught in Japan to adapt it to Americans. And since then, I just want to go back, Reiki practitioners wanted to know the history. So they went to Japan and researched, and the person she was mentioning, Franz Stine, and his then other partner, Brownin, had researched it and found out it was taught completely different things. Some things were left out. And so they teach a Japanese style of Reiki that was original to, as close to Mikao Usui as possible. And that's what Kesley had learned, was that Japanese style. I do not know that Japanese style of Reiki. It's a different way of, it's a different teaching that I have not learned. And so that I just want to give that background because of why this happened, why you were doing what you were doing, because Reiki is two Japanese kanjis. It means rei meaning spiritual, spirit, and ki meaning energy. So it's spiritual energy. So it's not anything like so exotic because it's Japanese. It's you're just channeling universal energy, spiritual energy. So I just wanted to say that. So going back to the attunement process, just wanted to break it down just so, you know, people can understand if they're not familiar with Reiki and the fact that you're having these extraordinary experiences, which happens spontaneously.
Yes.
And with intention sometimes after a long time of meditating, or so you're doing this Reiki attunement and on it, remotely. So she's at her place, your friend's at her place, and you're at your place, and you've got a chair in front of you. Are you guys online?
We're on Zoom, okay. But it's a quiet process.
Yeah. So it is a quiet process. Yeah.
Right. So it's not like you're active, but yeah, the computer was sitting there. So I was, connected in and doing this fairly mundane process that I've done it in traditional Reiki way. Many, many times, right? Not a big deal, but this was very, very different. And so I've got the father of Reiki in my space. I've got this angel breaking into 12 parts, spinning around my friend, and I'm in awe, tears, and I kept popping into my ego of the, I don't understand. So there I am in my space with my friend doing the attunement, and now the father of Reiki has entered my energy field. And this beautiful angel is broken into 12 and is spinning around my friend, and I was in complete awe. It was very difficult not to get absorbed into the bigness of it. And as I said, he just kept turning around. Can you get out of your head and back in the attunement? I need you.
I love that. I love that because that's so, I just want to say like the how cool and how so important that is to be hold, because when you're holding space for someone, there's parts of you, you're in these other dimensions, you're in these other spaces, and there's a part of you that's like, oh my God. And there's a part of you like, wait, no, I've got somebody, I'm working with someone physically or remotely. So you have to balance that and then get back out of that ego part of like, whoa, is this really happening, to, okay, what's going on, and just holding space and doing the wowness later of like, what the fuck was that? Oh my God, that was so amazing. So that's just what we, I think, as intuitive people that teach others how to trust their intuition and doing healing work for others is about holding space and observing. Oh, and yeah. When you have those thoughts, to, you know, put those to the side, especially when it's like, whoa, this is amazing.
Yeah. And normally it's not a problem. Normally I'm like, okay, you know, in the beginning it was, but I've become numb to a lot of the awness of it. Right. Like, I'm not starstruck by angels and
all hat to you now.
It is. It's like, oh, there's another one. Oh, look, I'm talking to dead people now. Cool. Okay. Right. And it's usually not, it was, you know, whoa, but this was another level of whoa. Like, it was the instant tears, the instant unconditional love, that gratitude, that Christ energy, that pure, divine, loving, healing energy being conjured by him was just, oh, it was just so powerful. So anyway, we're done. He leaves. Oh my gosh, you're never going to believe. I explain it to her. I think it's connected to her. I'm thinking maybe he's got something for her that's amazing coming. And I go about my day. A few days later, I'm in the bathtub waiting for my mother to drive from Las Vegas to California. And I get this horrible feeling she's going to get in a car accident. Now, I am a fear-based being. My mother was a fear-based being who filled me with fear. So the fact that I go to the worst case scenario is not unheard of for me. But this time I realized it was like, oh, this is a chance for my inner child to let go of the fear that my mother used to place on her. This isn't mine. I don't need this. My mom always worries when she drives. And so I had that intention of just like, I'm going to let my inner child be at peace and trust that she'll be here safely. All of a sudden, that angel appeared and that vortex started, only it spun a path from my mother's car to the hotel she was going to, and to my door. And I went, that was weird. But the instant calm of, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. And it just, I was like, okay, well, that was cool. So then I went to the store, I went to Walmart and tried to use it for a parking spot. And I was shut down real fast. It was so not like this.
Did your mom, so your mom arrived safely?
My mom arrived totally safely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just get that straight.
Yes. Mom arrived totally safely. And while she was here, I went to the store and thought, well, that worked. I'm going to get myself a parking spot. So I tried to imagine a vortex to a parking spot, because I always know there's going to be a parking spot, but my ego was like, maybe I can pick the spot. No. He pretty much turned around, like all of a sudden he was in my energy again, looked over her shoulder, and he was like, not with this energy, you don't. That is not what it's for. And then my normal parking angel made her appearance and was like, over here. And I was like, okay, that was weird. And right, so it was a lot of weird things throughout December, just weird little pieces of information and things. And I was like, okay, he's here and my friend's not. So maybe this is about me. Then we had the great shift on the 21st.
Mm. Wait, before you go into the great shift on the 21st, which is the December winter solstice.
Yes.
So your friend who experienced this attunement, has she had any extraordinary experiences with Usui or anything happening? Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
Not a thing. She said she just felt, you know, she did like the 21 day, which is traditionally what the other symbol was for, didn't really seem much. She said she felt really calm. She had some breakthroughs, but nothing out of the ordinary for a Reiki attunement. Mm. Honestly, it was for this epic experience, there was not a huge epic outcome. Now, what I know now is she's not doing the 8-week self-healing program. So, and the attunement that I did on her is not really one of the attunements. It's sort of the first attunement, but it's really for connecting those who don't know that they can do Reiki with the Reiki, and just reminding current practitioners that they don't need the hands-on aspect. Mm. So it was the first attunement, but not, it was different. Now I understand how the succession has to go for it. And it's very different than original Reiki. There's more attunements.
We'll get into that. How you came about that.
The 21st, there's a great shift. Many are saying we're starting to shift into the age of Aquarius. So there's this big astrological event happened, not just the solstice, but there was a big shift happening. So that shift is, you know, we're going to start opening up to new dimensions. There's all of this growth happening. And I can attest to that, because after that day, it became very clear. I started receiving symbols. I started being pushed to look certain things up. I was giving names. I was given, like, all of this information started to come through, and it was not my information, but it was leading me to search for things. And I was like, okay. And I'd have to start researching to make sense of the information I was just given. Mm. And that started to make sense of it.
Can you give an example of one of the things that you were, so you're saying that, so Usui is, because you're not saying this, and I know this because Usui is giving you this information.
Usui is giving me the information.
Channeling a new form of Reiki for the 21st century.
He's calling it a new system of Reiki that is for the next 100 years.
Okay.
Is what he's telling me. Essentially, in a nutshell, this is Reiki 2.0. It is what the world is ready for now. What the world was ready for before was a hands-on Reiki. We still needed the physical contact. And the way Usui taught was not hands-on. It was mind-to-mind. The hands-on was added for those that needed it, right? So he was teaching each student to the level where they were. Not everybody was ready for this esoteric ideas, right? Not everybody was there yet. It was still humans hadn't evolved spiritually. We hadn't evolved parts of our brain yet. And he's telling me that the shift is causing that in humans. And so now humans are ready for this different style. Mm-hmm. And he's calling it 2.0 for all of us, but really it's the original. He's like, no, now I can give it to you super pure, because this is how it could have been intended, but the world wasn't quite ready for that yet.
Interesting. Yeah. Because this is specifically to Reiki, this type of energy healing, but a lot of people do energy work, not using hands-on, you know, they, you know, do a meditation, they, you know, call in different guides and beings, and they visualize. And I mean, it's similar. I mean, that's what I, you know, if I'm doing a remote session, that's what I do, just kind of get into a meditative space. But I'm using my hands because I'm tactile.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
So yeah, so the information started coming, and it came through splotchy, right? It came through broken up, and it was the connection was being formed is what was happening. It's a much stronger connection today. Now, the second I get out of the way, it can come through. Mm.
What I was going to ask you was, I was asking you what particular, can you tell us something, and just one thing that stands out some information that you were channeling from Usui that you had to look up?
Yeah. So the symbol, the Raku, was the first one. That was like, you need to figure out what the difference is here. And I started to get, so I was looking through and trying to remember how, because it was so confusing that week. There was a lot of overlapping information, and but there was basically what the big piece of information was connecting him to Tibet, connecting him to the Tibetan Buddhists in a different way. realizing that he was part of the more esoteric side of the priests in the mountains, that he was also what made his hands-on Reiki different from other hand-on healing modalities was the spiritual aspect, was this the attunement and the idea of reconnecting with your spiritual self. So he brought that in. He was like, yeah, that's what they could handle at the time, right? Was that little bit of information. Now we're ready for the bigger parts of it, the bigger aspects. So as the month started to go on, the information started to come in, started to come clearer. And I had to be really careful what I was asking, because I'm an asker, right? I need to know why. So I'm constantly asking questions and researching, and that's my nature. So he would say something and I'd be like, but why? And why? And then, so I'd be kind of in my downtime, right? Early morning in a bath, relaxing, meditation. And I'd be like, I wonder about, right? I wonder if there's an attunement. And then it would pop in my head and I would have to grab my phone and start typing, because I would ask for an attunement and I'd start getting information. And I was like, oh, okay. And all sorts of stuff. And here was the biggest one that is like, a good friend of mine is like, dude, you cannot deny that you are channeling. About, I think it was the second week of January, I was in tears on the phone to her, not being able to find any inspiration for social media content. Just struggling, just like, this is ridiculous. She has 1,000 prompts she shared with me and said, here, nothing. It was like a blank wall. I was devastated. I was like, this is not going to work. I'm not going to survive on social media. I can't think of anything to post. I was given 20 posts yesterday in an hour.
From
Usui. Yep. One day I was sitting there and I said, how am I going to come up with posts? What am I going to do? And he was like, oh, are you asking? And I was like, oh, wait, yeah. Will you help me do posts? He was like, yeah, I'll give you Usui's inspirations 2 or 3 a week. Wait, really? Okay. And then I get also, he's got a 5 senses that is about helping humans be in touch with and appreciate their senses, because that is the one thing that humans can have that spirits don't have, are the 5 senses. So he's asking us to appreciate our 5 senses, to bask in them and to just have gratitude for them and to enjoy them, because it's the human aspect that's not as painful, right? Mm-hmm. Most of human existence is fairly painful. It's what we're here for, is to learn and to have the negative side of an experience, because spirit form is so perfect and beautiful. But the one thing they can't do is experience touch, taste, smell, sound, and sight. Mm-hmm. So they require us for that. And so there's a whole series that's inspirational quotes about 5 senses and which smells do you prefer, which taste do you like, and to help humans get in touch with their 5 senses. So that was like, woo, cool. He's got a post that's the Reiki 2.0. What's new in Reiki 2.0? So that was the day I got the 2.0. I was like, oh, that's a fun way to put it. Okay. And I have gone from creating to receiving. Mm. And I am purely just a channel for him now, which required a ton of ego removal as well, because I was the name, the face, the everything of my business.
Right.
It was me. And he came in, oh, the name, Karmic Soul Reiki. And I was like, okay. And he's like, you're going to need to trademark that. And I went, but I can just put the TM by it. Cause I looked it up. He was like, trademark. And I was, so I did the research on trademarking and I was like, yeah, we're good. As long as we use the TM, we're covered. He was like, not if we go international. And I was like, wait, what? So these pieces of information that are unfathomable to me, really, like things I wouldn't even have thought of, are coming through. Mm. You know, well, how do I know when the classes are going to be? Boom, pull your phone out. You've now got a schedule to the end of the year. The end of the year. Wow. Like it's so amazing. So when do I start the class? He tells me the date. How is it going to look? This many hours? How this? It's, there's also a part of me that is like, now I feel like I'm cheating. Now right. I feel like I'm getting the answers and other humans are like, well, that's not fair. Right. And now I'm going to get in trouble because I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just delivering what I'm being given. And so then there was, of course, and I'm sure most healers have a sense of this, of why me? How come I get to do this? That was huge. It was like a lot of the struggle. And I think a lot of the resistance I was having was, I'm not that special. Why me? And then he kept telling me, because it's what you've been asking for the last 5 years. And I was like, no, it's not. I didn't even want to lead with Reiki. I was, no. And he was like, yeah, but it wasn't about Reiki. It was all the other things you were asking for. Spreading healing exponentially throughout humanity. Having a life that I know that was a couple of days a week that supported, for any of you human designers out there, my projector way, right? I wanted to be able to have a really flexible schedule that wasn't overloaded. I wanted to be able to travel and teach from wherever I was. I wanted to feel really energized at the end of my workday. I wanted to be creating transformations for people. I daydreamed about having a similar setup as Esther Hicks, Abraham Hicks, meaning as I started to develop my intuition, I wanted to have crowds that would just come and ask questions and I could use my intuition. And he made it very clear the other day, oh, you're just like Esther Hicks now. And I was like, what? Oh, it was when I was creating the first Usui's inspiration post and he insisted that I add on it that it was being channeled from him by me. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I don't want to tell everybody that. That's weird. And he was like, Esther Hicks. And I was like, no. I wanted the audience. He was like, well, you got the channel. You said you with manifestation, when you have a desire and you let go of the how and you hold on to the outcome, he was like, this is the outcome you wanted. It's just not the how you thought you were going to get it. He's like, you're channeling me and you're going to tell people we're doing this together. This isn't all about you. Right. And so it's like, oh, so there's been a lot of me kind of hanging my head like, okay, I get it. Right. And it's like, and he's like, you can abandon this. This is not something you have to do. This is a choice. Do you want this? This is what you've been asking for. And what this can give you is everything you dreamed of. It's going to look different. You have to abandon your name. You have to abandon hypnotherapy. You have to abandon trauma. That was hard for me. Mm-hmm. Those were my passions.
Right, right. So when you're saying that, so you have been, you started a complex trauma Facebook and you were leading with that. That's what you're talking about is.
Yeah, yeah. Trauma is one of my favorite topics to work with. I've had some clients that have experienced severe trauma and have had exponential healing opportunities with me. And so it's really close to my heart. It's also is my problem. So it's a lot of the reason that I'm here in the first place is from childhood trauma. So childhood trauma was really important to me. And as I said, I've had a lot of really huge transformations with clients. So it's important to me. And I didn't want to let that go. And I didn't want to let the hypnotherapy go. And as I like succumb to it, right? Surrender. It's like, okay, fine. And that, as soon as I did, he started to show me how important it actually is and how it's going to fit into the program. It was a let go of what you know and trust what you have, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's do this a different way. And so as we're now, as he's helping me build level one and I'm starting to build the program, I'm like, oh, that's how you work trauma in. Oh, that's how, okay. So it's my experience with hypnotherapy. I couldn't be doing it because this is such an active mind to mind. It's all basically hypnotherapy, right? So it's all the sum of who I am, the sum of all it took for me to get here. He's like, I need every tiny minuscule cell and every moment of it. You are going to be doing it. I just need you to trust me and to slap karmic soul Reiki on everything you do right now. This is where we're going. And I was like, okay, I'll do karmic soul healing. It'll be part of it. And I like, I kept trying to sidestep it. I'm resistant. I'm okay with that. I'm aware. And it was just a continual nudging of, okay, fine. We'll do it your way. We'll see how that works. Nobody showed up. for the event, right?
Yeah.
So it's just perfect always.
You know, I'm just, thank you for doing this. I wanted to have you on here because people have extraordinary outside of the human senses experiences. And I just wanted to, I mean, I've had people on here talking about, you know, how they've had these experiences, but you know, you're going through it right now. And, you know, this is, and I remember we had this conversation. I was like, you know, there's William Rand, who is, you know, who's kind of a prominent figure in Reiki. Like, you know, he created these manuals and he's doing a lot to try to get Reiki mainstreamed. And he has this something called Holy Fire Reiki, which is the attunements are like a guided meditation experience, basically, kind of what I haven't taken it, Holy Fire. And I'm, you know, and that's something that he downloaded, or I don't know where it came from. I don't really know the history. I haven't really looked into it.
I believe he channeled it with Jesus.
Okay.
There's a Jesus aspect to it.
Okay.
Which I just want to clear for the record, for anybody out there who's wondering, as far as I'm concerned, Reiki energy is just the divine God energy. I don't believe it's any different than anybody else's entry into the energy. I'm getting confirmation from Usui that that's correct. This is just one way to get there, right? This is one person's way, right? There's 15,000 ways to make chicken soup. What's your recipe, right? And it's like, okay, this is my perfect chicken soup recipe. So that's what this is like. So all of those other, you know, so many different ways to access, this is one of them. And so this is the way that when it feels right for somebody, they're like, oh yeah, that's what I've been waiting for. Right. And it's just like this, oh, that's it. Yeah. And so the theme of this Reiki is, as I mentioned, it's called karmic soul Reiki. Karmic soul is one word, and the karmic soul is the soul that it's your soul. It's your energy that you are forever, for eternity. It's the energy that was never destroyed, never created. It just has always been. Then when you come into a human form, you also have a spirit that runs that human body, right? And I believe that that spirit, in my mind, that spirit is the kind of compilation of where you're born, who your parents are, the time you're born, your ethnicity, right? All of that, everything that has to do with who we are individually in this life is the spirit, but the soul is the connection to the divine. Mm-hmm. So this Reiki is really about a reconciliation of your soul. It's about connecting in with not only your past in this life, but your past from all lives. So there's the past life aspect where so the idea of karma, right, is like a balancing. Now, some people will say, oh, you did something bad, now you have bad karma. That's not how I've ever experienced it. Karma is something that we want balance as a soul, right? We want to learn something. And the best way to learn something is to learn both sides of it, right? Debate team, basically. You need to learn the positives. You need to learn the negatives. Learn as much as you can so that you can really make an educated decision. I believe that's what souls are here to do. We come in to have an experience, then we're going to come back and have an opposite experience, right? We may need to do it two or three times. We may say, ooh, you know what? That was a tough lesson. Let me go back again. Sometimes we're here to learn more than one lesson at a time, right? Sometimes we're here to help other people with their lessons. There's so many different ways that that it can happen. Great book. I highly recommend to anybody out there is a children's book called The Little Soul and the Sun. And it is basically what this is all about. It's about your soul coming in, wanting to learn something and how your soul can learn that moving forward. So with the karmic soul Reiki, it's about looking at every positive thing, every negative thing that's happened to you in this life and in past lives to make sense of it. And so we can really start to appreciate both sides. Right? when mm-hmm. in Reiki, when you get traditional Reiki, when you get to level three, it's all about the dichotomy and non-duality, right? The finding the space in between, the not seeing the differences. This Reiki is the opposite. This Reiki is about the duality. It's about focusing on the duality, focusing on all of the differences to find the similarities. So you find the differences so that you can bring that balance. If you're constantly trying to find the center ground, you're missing out. And this is about finding those things that really tip your scale so that you can bring balance in a bigger way, right? Don't stay near the center where it's easy. Do the big stuff.
Yeah, that's totally different than, you know, because that's the whole, I don't know, kind of the point of the human experience that we've been taught, or, you know, that we've been led to with your meditation and certain types of philosophies and Buddhism, and is going for non-duality to find this center. And I don't know if that means, like, I don't think it means like skipping over your shadow side and all the shit and just focusing on your, you know, the what's good, but it's just not judging anything. And so that's what's interesting about what you're saying. This is something completely new to me. I was like, what? Well, this is a new, we have not talked about this before. So that's interesting that he's saying that you're looking at both judgments, because, you know, judging something is good, judging something is bad, it's still a judgment. Because in non-duality philosophy, you know, you just don't judge anything.
So it's not a judgment, because we're not deciding if it's bad or good. We're focusing on the differences. So yeah, you're right. It's a difficult concept. So I'm glad that I'm having the opportunity to reword it. Thank you. Okay, let's look at something you would say is good or bad. Okay, say you lost your temper at somebody in the grocery line and you yelled at them. Okay, on the other hand, you took a meal to a friend who was in need, right? What somebody would look at as a positive and a negative experience. It's about focusing on them and looking at all of the details in each of them and understanding why you would make either choice. So instead of just going, oh, I don't want to judge it, that happened and that happened, which is a way, it works, right? I'm not saying that it doesn't work. It's worked for hundreds of years for many, many, many people, thousands and thousands and thousands, millions probably of people have found peace and understanding in that route. Right? Finding quiet, finding calm, finding that non-judgment. It's beautiful. I had a ton of healing in that space. Now it's the second level, like the upgrade. And here's really what it is it's more passive versus active. So the passive healing is the non-duality. I'm not going to judge. I'm going to let it be. It just is. The active is, ooh, I made that negative choice for a reason. Right? So it's not a judgment. It's an appreciation and an understanding for each thing that has happened. So that means if we look back in past lives and we were horrible and we killed people or raped people, right? Why? It's not about feeling bad. It's about trusting that every single experience is right and perfect. Always. Right place, right time, right experience. Always. Painful, wonderful, scary, delightful. They're all for a reason. So it's not about judging as much as it's about deeply, deeply understanding why. So that you understand on a karmic soul level, this is where I'm at. I have done this and I did this to balance it. So it's not good versus evil. It's the same side of two sides of the same coin. You can't have light without dark. So it's a non-judgment in the difference. Does that make more sense?
It makes sense. It makes sense. I mean, I guess the way you're explaining it, it's not too far-fetched from what we have been thinking of. If you are on this spiritual path of, well, everything happens for a reason, and you know, kind of appreciate. I don't, you know, I have not experienced that type of sexual assault. I don't know if somebody who has experienced that, if they're listening, like, well, I don't appreciate getting, you know, fucking raped. And, you know, there's always the Holocaust test. Well, so did all those, you know, million, did they choose that experience, you know? And it's hard to imagine on a human level what's happening spiritually, because there's so much trauma and pain and suffering that we've inflicted on each other since humans have been around. And I think I'm just, I don't know. I don't know if that explains it, but I'm just, I'm just kind of like, you know, someone who's had, you know, terrible experiences of trauma, such as sexual assault or, you know, witness to murder, or who've been attacked physically, almost died from, you know, by someone else's hand, where that fits in to that experience.
So I had a client who, the most severe woman I've not only experienced personally, but I've ever even heard of.
This is a trigger warning. So if you want to skip 10 to 15 seconds ahead, please do so now.
Her mother tried to kill her 3 or 4 times. She was handed to her father at 4 years old for sex. Take this. Like, horrific. That's just the top of the iceberg, okay? This girl, the experiences she's had. She could not make sense of it. Very spiritual, always trying to figure out why. Why would I have this experience? How could that benefit me?
Right.
The work I did with her, the information that she received, the answer was she was here to try to let those people have a reconciliation for themselves. She was literally here to support those souls. She was here to take it. And when she came to that understanding, everything changed. She was like, oh my gosh, this isn't about me. Yeah, it was profound the way that she took it. Cause I was thinking, oh my gosh, really? And she was like, she's like, I knew it. I knew this wasn't for me. I knew this wasn't for my growth. I just always knew that. And it was so freeing. And all of the sudden, so many of her traumas that she had been holding on to, we were able to reconnect her with her 17-year-old self, where she finally really disconnected from all the trauma. The healing this woman has had just on her own since then, exponential. I mean, it is unbelievable, that awareness, because that's what she needed. She always felt like something was wrong with her, right? It's something's wrong with me. And in that moment, she was like, I just came to help them. She basically was here to see if her mother could pull herself out, and she didn't. She remained basically possessed. She remained this toxic energy, and she was free. I watched her become free by understanding that she was here to serve others and was here to help. And now her life, that she is miserable in her body, she's like, I'm okay. This is okay. I get it now. So, you know, and then another client who also had severe physical abuse, the information, and when you start to have these soul reconciliations, the understanding comes that you really can start to look back at your traumas and be appreciative. Mm. I can now look back at my rape and be appreciative for it. I understand it, right? And if I don't, I can do this meditation. I can go back and I can get answers. I can understand why. I don't believe anything that I've experienced was not for my growth. And I see that with my clients, as they get to a place where they understand, this isn't about me. This is just what I was here to learn, right? So in the diving in the understanding, in the complete awareness of why everything happened, is where you find the non-duality. It's where you can detach as a soul and go, oh, this is just my human experience. This really was for a reason. And when you own that and you can go, oh, that's why. And to have that awareness of, oh, I can actually do something with this. This happened so I could be here today. And so I could have this learning and this knowing. Yeah, it was painful. That's what the human experience is all about. This is not to erase trauma. This is not to pretend trauma is okay. This is not to excuse hurting other humans by any means. It is definitely not. What it is it's taking a horrific experience. When you can break down that trauma and undo it through knowledge, because what you're doing is you're understanding the trauma in a different way, it can start to make sense in your body. And I believe that's how we can let go of the trauma, by making sense of it. Right. And I've seen that with my clients. When you have a guy who is.
This is a trigger warning. So if you want to skip 10 to 15 seconds ahead, please do so now.
Beaten daily by his father as a conditioning process to make him a man, that fucks with your psychology. For him to understand that his dad was just broken and that his dad was trying to force something on him, right? And to remove him. So when he could fully understand the reasons that his dad was doing it, oh, his dad's trauma caused this, it made sense to him. And he was able to reconcile it. That is what this is about. It's about reconciliation, which means you understand what happened. You can make sense of it. And now you have an outcome. You have a checks and balances. When you have that reconciliation, that understanding, I watch the trauma leave. You don't feel like it's yours. You can give back what isn't yours. You can let go. There's also, of course, sidestepping into the whole intuition and empath. So many people are empathic and don't know it. So many people have been taking on not only the trauma that was coming in, but their parents' issues, right? Their parents' emotional states while they were being abused. So it's all of this compounded stuff. And when you make sense of it, you can allow it to leave, because now you're keeping what's yours and you're letting out what isn't. There's no confusion because as a child, it's pure confusion in those moments. You can't make sense of what's going on.
I just want to kind of clarify that the past few minutes that we've been talking about very complex trauma there's a method for dealing with that. And then there's something called karmic soul Reiki that is, I guess, kind of putting that out on the front burner.
Yes. There's a distinct process, a technique to do inner child work that can heal trauma without actually going into the trauma. I call it Back to the Future. It's a process for, rather than being in the past so much, it's a combination. It's a way to heal trauma without immersing yourself in the trauma, right? Without re-experiencing, you don't want to re-traumatize.
Putting all of this back into context, into what you were channeling, what you are channeling, and also the work that you were doing before this experience with the Sui came in and kind of put you on a different track, but you're still including all the work that you're doing, and it's still addressing this complex trauma that you were working with your clients. I think that's just what I was trying to bring it all back into context, just in case anybody got lost, because maybe I was getting lost in our conversation. So I just wanted to bring it back. Well, I just wanted to bring it back to trusting yourself and channeling, and how this has, you know, humans have been channeling, I mean, since we've been recording history. And if you want to go back to, you know, I mean, I'm not a Christian. I've never studied Christianity, but you mean like, you know, Moses was channeling. There's like very well known throughout history, people who have channeled information and put that out into the world. And I just want to normalize this experience, because people have this experience and they think they're schizophrenic. They think they're, and that's a whole nother topic too.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they're hearing voices. I mean, you know, God, Joan of Arc. I'm just trying to think of all the people. And then you've got the modern oracles. Mm-hmm. So modern oracles such as Neil Donald Walsh, you know, he channeled those books. A Course in Miracles was channeled by two, I think, grad students from Columbia.
Right.
So there's lots of channeled information that people have published in books to get the message out there, and that what Kesley is experiencing isn't any different. And if you're having these experiences, to know that, get grounded and to know that you're not the only one. You're not the only one having these incredible experiences. And artists, you know, they call it the muse. They're inspired by the muse, and they paint through that inspiration. So it's inspiration, and it's amazing, and it's a common human experience. And that's the point of this whole conversation that we're having today with Kesley. And that what she is experiencing.
No, I thank you for that, because it was actually the talk with you that helped me not feel so crazy. I was like, oh my gosh, I have this thing and I feel so weird. And oh my gosh, what am I going to tell people? And you were like, you're not that special. Right? Like, this happens all the time. Yeah, and I was like, oh. But it was that kind, you know, I mean, it was with love and of course, like you do, but it was the awareness of it ain't just you, right? Which is what Uzui's been trying to tell me is, this isn't all about you. Like, get out of your head. Right? This happens. I'm just using you. You're my vessel. Like, you're the human form. Get moving. Right? And it takes the awe out of it. It takes the mystery of like, oh, okay, I'm just channeling something else. Right? So it takes the, right. It keeps it, because am I deserving? Right? Keeps us out of our head. Keeps us out of our belief, right. Out of our story. Out of our story that I can't handle and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it's definitely this is teaching people to access that intuition for themselves. So it's really mm-hmm. teaching people how to be intuitive for themselves, and then how to be intuitive for other people. So it's and it's a great aspect or a great avenue to really understand what's coming through, mm-hmm. right? Because you can start to access it on a different level. When you get into that vortex, so many things are possible. And yeah. And it's I'm really excited, mostly because I get to teach teachers. Like, that's where the exponential, I'm like, oh, get to take this message and it's gonna go big. And I'm so excited to get to that level. Like, teaching people to heal themselves is great, but I'm honestly like, I can't wait to start producing my teachers where I can see my teachers teaching this and watching that go from, you know, my 10 to seeing hundreds of students being transformed into their best yeah. selves, you know.
And that's the ultimate exciting.
Yeah, the ultimate goal with it is that when we come time for the end of our life, that we are planning our next life actively from the human form, not just waiting to go back to do the reconciliation, that we've done a lot of that reconciliation. So we're fresh, ready to just go wherever we're ready to go next.
All right. So thank you. Thank you so much, Kesley, for being here today and sharing this extraordinary experience. It's remarkable. And I'm so happy to be witnessing it. And it's just a powerful thing to witness. And I'm sure it's even more powerful for you. So you have an upcoming class?
Yes. So coming up, thank you for asking, on
February 23rd.
At 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, I have my What is Karmic Soul Reiki class. It is a free workshop that you can join, and you'll get kind of an overview of Reiki, what it can offer you. And then we're going to do a Diva Uzu blessing, which is the powerful Reiki energy that, if you're interested after that, you can participate in the 7-day seven-day manifestation challenge that is a part of the blessing that you'll get. So it's a 1.5 hour class that can be taken into a 7-day experience to really start to manifest whatever you're wanting that week. It's a really awesome, experience. So you can join that by going to my website, which is Karmic Soul Reiki. So KarmicSoulReiki, KarmicSoulReiki.com.
Sounds like your dogs have entered the room.
They have.
I can hear them. All right. So I will have all that in the show notes about her upcoming class and how you can contact Kesley if you want to join. And thank you so much for sharing all this. Thank you to our divine guides and Usui for bringing this through again. Thank you. Let's give you a big warm hug. Goodbye.
Oh,
lovely to see you again, Kes.
You too. Thank you.
So, and thank you all for being here today and witnessing this. And I will see you next time on The Confident Healer. Bye. Want to know more about how to contact my guest? Then go to theconfidenthealer.net. This is also the best place to listen to the podcast. And while you're there, click subscribe to rate the show. Let's get those algorithms working to get this podcast to the masses. Thanks for listening and see you next time.